spring savings are in full bloom right now at Lowe's, where you'll find great deals on everything you need to get your home in shape for the season. So hurry into your neighborhood store today to save big on all of your spring home improvement needs, like a $100 Lowe's gift card with the purchase of in-stock Husqvarna riding lawnmowers. Make your home happy all season long with great brands and great prices right now at Lowe's. Offer valid 3/9 through 3/21. Excludes garden tractors and zero-turn radius mowers. Excludes repaired and reconditioned items. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm your host, Angela Butler. Tonight we have with us Ms. Isabel. She is from South Africa, but she lives in the United States. Ms. Isabel has worked with Michael Jackson, Toni Braxton, Tina Turner, to name a few. She is a choreographer and a dancer. And with that introduction, good afternoon, Ms. Isabel.
Hello, Angela. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. You know you are my first guest from South Africa.
Oh, wow.
First female guest from South Africa. Yeah. I had another male guest named Mr. Benjamin A. Gregory.
I am very honored.
Yes,
I'm very honored
to have you on the show. Yes, ma'am. Pronounce your last name.
My last name is pronounced Lobo. There's a click sound in there, Lobo.
Okay. Okay. How old were you when you first came to America?
I was about 23 years old when I came to America. And I came with a whole lot of dancers from the age of 16, 17, and 18. I came with my dance company. And the reason why I came here, I was invited to come and be part of the cultural Olympiad in the Olympic Games. But we came 3 years before that, and my husband and I worked here in America trying to promote our company and expose our culture before the Olympic Games. So when the Olympic Games was on, we were already ready to showcase our production, which was titled Zulu Kingdom.
Okay. All right. How did you meet President Nelson Mandela and his daughter?
Oh, Nelson Mandela, how we got to meet my husband, which was my boyfriend at that time. He lived in the same township, which is the township Soweto in South Africa, in Orlando West Extension. And Nelson Mandela's house was in the next street. They were basically neighbors, so my husband grew up with his daughters, you know. And when he was released from prison, my husband used to work for the ANC, and he would help with the PA system with the sound and, you know, sound and lights, because they would have all these political rallies and stuff, and my husband would help with sound. And then that's how I met Zandi Mandela. And then we started working on a project, and that was to promote education for the young people in South Africa. And, of course, because I had a dance company, my dancers would always perform at certain venues, and that's how we did that. And that's how I met Mr. Nelson Mandela.
Okay. All right. That President Nelson Mandela, oh, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. What was it like working with Michael Jackson? And did you meet Mr. Jackson in Africa or in America?
No, we met him in America when we first got here. Excuse me, he was doing a project with President Jimmy Carter at that time. And we were, my dancers and I, we were asked to come and perform in his project. And that time in Atlanta, which is called now, it used to be the Omni Stadium, I think, in Atlanta. And then it's now called the Philips Arena, but then they asked us to perform there, and we would rehearse with Michael Jackson, and he would try to do some little African dance, and we would teach him some African dance. It was quite impressive, though.
Okay.
And that's when we met him with Lisa Marie Presley and Webster. He was always with them. And TLC, you know, that time.
Okay.
Those are the artists that was in the project. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. That's all very interesting. It's very fascinating, too. Was Africa segregated when you first started performing?
Now, before I started my dance company in South Africa, I was always only, most of the time, the only black dancer amongst, say, maybe 15, 16 white dancers who was cast for certain productions. And I was the first black African dancer to dance at the segregated venue called Sun City in South Africa. At that time, there was no black Africans dancing there. It was only white South Africans, and they would take Europeans from other countries. And so one day I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to this venue and I'm going to go to this audition because I know I'm black, but I can dance, you know. I can do everything they can do, you know. I can do my African dance. I can do the ballet, the jazz, the modern, because I've been trained in that. And then one day I decided to go for the audition, and there was a Chinese choreographer. He was actually so impressed, and he cast me in the show. But remember, he's from overseas also. He's not from South Africa. And then when they realized that he cast this black African woman in the show, you know, which is where you don't ever see black African dancers, it was like it turned out to be a big commotion, you know. So I had to prove myself over and over that I'm a dancer and I'm going to dance in the show. I belong in the show. I was cast by the director, the choreographer, and I'm going to dance in the show. Now, mind you, that time, this venue at Sun City, it's sort of like Las Vegas shows. We go to Paris, Moulin Rouge, those kind of shows, you know. And most of the dancers were topless at that time. But I knew that I had a mission, and I said to myself, I already knew that I'm not going to dance topless. So when they all of this drama of they tried everything not to put me in the show, trying to look for reasons not to put me in the show.
Yes,
but they could not say that I cannot be in the show because I couldn't dance, because I was a professional already. You know, I danced since I was like 7 years old, and that's the only thing I did. I went did the ballet, the jazz, everything. So when it came to costume fitting, and they would, you know, they would measure the breasts, and they would measure. And I was like determined to say that, you know what, I'm not dancing topless. I'm a real dancer, and I want to dance on the show, but I'm not dancing topless, because I knew I am going to have to put up a fight there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, well,
they
you audition
you to
for
dance. How?
Excuse me.
They wanted you to dance how?
Topless. Topless. Yes. That's what they were doing at that time for this venue. Now, in the contract, when you went for the audition, they didn't say that it's for, it's for Sun City Extravaganza and the dancers are topless. That wasn't said so, you know. They just would ask your shoe sizes and your waist size and everything. But they never mentioned it's topless. And when you signed the contract, they never said it was topless too. So when it came down for costume fitting, they said, no, this is like Extravaganza, like, you know, Paris and Las Vegas, we dance topless. I said, no, I didn't sign up to dance topless. And then the director had a nerve to tell me that, well, you African, you know, you people are used to be topless. I said, well, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. Culture is different from going on a stage and shake, you know what I mean? So, because of all of that, so finally they decided that, okay, no, you know, I'm not going to dance topless. And the choreographer agreed also that we the real dancers are not going to dance topless. The showgirls can run around topless, you know. So we did real dancing. But the reason why I was so determined to do that show is that we in South Africa there, if you, every Tuesday, every Monday we'll have a day off, right? Then we'll have a day off, and I'll go back to Johannesburg with the bus. But when you come back, you will drive about, say it's about 2.5 hours from Johannesburg to Sandton.
Johannesburg
and
is the capital, isn't it, in South Africa?
Excuse me, say that again?
Is Johannesburg the capital in South Africa?
No, Johannesburg isn't the capital, it's Pretoria.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for correcting.
Yeah. And, yes, 11. Yeah, it's Pretoria. No, because we wanted to change it and call it Gauteng, but it's not. It's still Pretoria. Right?
Okay.
So, yeah. So now Sun City is like 2 hours out of Johannesburg, you know. It's almost in Botswana. So that's where it is. So you would drive to going there, and on the way, it's just rural, rural, rural. And you see all these shanty towns, and you see this, that time we call it mkuku. Mkuku is another word for shacks, you know, where people live in. And you'll just see kids running around naked, you know, playing. It's just poverty, basically, on the way. And all of a sudden, you just come to this, voila, you know, you just see this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful resort in that country. And mm-hmm. I would always be thinking, I said, wow, you know. If you go on the outside, you just see poverty, and once you come here, there's all this. And then while I was dancing at Sun City, I would notice that our dresses, these were black ladies, African ladies, and most of them were like between the age of 50 and 70 years old, and they would dress us, all this heavy gear, you know, it's like very heavy headgear and stuff, and they would dress us. And my white dancer friends, they would be so mean to them, like, you know, like cursing them out. Oh, come on, you got to F this, and you got to F this, you know. You got to do it quick. Yeah, we've got to show you to do it. Yes, and I would feel so small. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like almost like you're talking to my mother, you know. And mm-hmm. I thought, no, something needs to be done. Yeah, it was really so bad and insulting. So, and
yes.
I would talk to the ladies and ask them, so how much money, how much do they pay you? So basically at that time, it was like if I have to put it in dollars, I would say they would get almost like $100 a month, you know, for a month,
okay.
Doing all that work every day, day in and out. And in the show, you just see mostly European dancers and American dancers, most, all of them white, and then it was me, the black dancer. But I had to work so hard because I had to prove myself over and over again. Because I said, you know what, I've got 3 strikes here. I'm black, I'm a woman, and I'm in South Africa. So I always had to prove myself because I knew I've got some people coming up behind me. But I made it, I stayed there for 3 years.
All right. Was it hard being a black female and dancing in South Africa? Was it hard?
Oh, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. First and foremost, okay, being black in South Africa as a female, you must remember South African is very it's very cultural, right? You've got different cultures, but then you've got you also have, like, for me, being a dancer, not only a cultural African dancer, but I also was trained in ballet, jazz, and modern, you know. So I would go outside of Johannesburg and take some classes and have to go and learn, because, you know, I was lucky that my mother, because she was working, my mother was working as a maid in some of these white suburbs, and one of the ladies that she worked for, her daughter had a dance studio right there where she was working, and she would always teach ballet classes, and that's how I was able to attend those ballet classes. And then she'll always say, oh, you're so good, you should keep coming, you know. And that's how I kept going with the ballet. Now, as far as being a female dancer in South Africa, you were not taken really serious. You know what I'm saying? You were not really taken serious, because dance is supposed to be, especially in our cultural way of life, it's just a way of life. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a career. It's not taken serious. You know what I'm saying? So that was the hard part. But when I went to Sun City, then I realized, oh, my God, this is business. This is, you know, this is a career. People have been dancing for years and years. People won awards. People went around the world. Some people have changed the world through dance, you know, and the arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to come to America? And how did you come to America?
Okay. Now, when I was at Sun City, like I said, I noticed how they treated the, you know, the ladies who was helping us, our dressers helping us. And at the same time, I've noticed that I was the only black dancer. And at that time, my husband now, which was my boyfriend then, he used to work for ANC, right, for the youth program also, and also for the PA system. So he would sometimes, when he come and visit me and stuff, he would notice that. He would always tell me, you know what, you need to go back to Johannesburg and go and train some dancers there. You know, I'm dealing with the youth there. They do roller skating and just trying to keep them busy, but they needed some constructive training and stuff. So I said, okay, we'll see. And then one day when we were doing a show and they were trying to sign me up for the next, for the next extravaganza that was coming, I asked the artistic director, I said, why do you always have these white dancers here? Not that I'm against them, but, you know, I know a lot of black dancers that's really good, that's excellent, you know, my friends, some of them who I've worked with. And then he said, oh, no, don't you worry, you are different from them. Black dancers cannot dance. And that's actually when I heard that, it was like a knife going right through my soul. And I just turned around, and then I finished the contract, didn't sign up for the next contract, and I told my husband, I said, I'm ready now for you. So we went back to South Africa and Johannesburg. That time, my husband, we got to this, it's a swimming pool, you know, it's just a community center with a swimming pool. I went with a PA system, and we went with a car, went around the township, and I said, there are three dance training lessons that's at Orlando Swimming Pool. I want everybody to come. This is in Soweto. And then Saturday, I had almost 100 kids who came there for free dance lessons. Now, you must remember, like I said, in South Africa, dance is like a way of life for the African continent. Dance is a way of life. And you say, telling someone, come for free dance lessons, like, what, are you crazy? Who's going to learn something, you know, that they're supposed to know since they were born, you know?
Okay.
So all these kids came up, and that's how I started my dance company. From that dance company, you kids became so good, and that's how we started, you know, traveling around the country, and people started noticing us, and that's how we got the invitation to come to America.
Oh, did you already know the American language, English?
Oh, no, we knew in South Africa, you learn English from school. Yes, you do. That's how you have to learn English. You get in a class, your first language is your native language, and the second language is English. You got to learn those.
Okay.
That's why it's easy for people to travel to South Africa, because people speak English. They speak it well there, you know?
Okay. What made you become an aerobics instructor?
Now, as I was with my dancers going around, traveling the world, we got invitations all over the place, and I came to America. Now, excuse me, as a choreographer, you choreograph a show, and once the show is choreographed, it's like, you know, your hands are no more on it, you know, this is the dancer show now, you know. So I'm like, well, yeah, I've choreographed the show. I'm kind of like bored now. I need to do something, right? Because we'll be there like maybe 2 or 3 weeks choreographing. The show is on. The show goes on the road. I'm like, oh, yeah, now. So then I decided, so one day I went to the gym, Bally Solo Fitness. I decided to sign myself up. So I'm at the gym working out. And while I'm at the gym and working out, I'm like, I know this lady trying to do step class, you know? And while she's doing step class, she fell off. She fell off the step. I'm like, oh my God, she fell off the step. I don't know if she's going to get out. She couldn't get up, you know? And then I went to the, and she was kind of big. She was just a little bit big, you know? And then I went to the aerobics, and I said, you know what? I think I've got a better way to make people like exercise, feel good about themselves, and, you know, enjoy it. And so the next week she gave me a to come and teach us. And that's how I created my course, which is Western Dance.
Miss Isabel, you fade in out.
Yeah. Oh, Angela, you know what? Oh, really?
Hold on. Hold on.
All right. Hello?
Yes.
All right, now go back to talking.
And then this is not my own because my friend's called Soweto Jive. Anybody can do it. It doesn't matter what, how your nationality you are, because it's dance, and it's based on African dance, but it's also a little bit of my own freestyle dancing, my own style.
Okay. What was it like working with Miss Tina Turner?
Now, Tina Turner, when she came to South Africa, now most of the time, the artists, when they come to South Africa, most of them, some of them don't come with their own dancers. So when they come to South Africa, they would ask my company, which is Soweto Street Beat Dance Theater, they would come to us and ask us for dancers. And that's how I started to work. That's how I worked with Tina Turner. And we provide her with dances, and I'll choreograph certain pieces based on her songs and what she likes, you know. And then that's how we worked with her when she taught in South Africa. And she was particularly very impressed with one of my dancers, David Matamela, and she actually gave him a scholarship to go to Alvin Ailey and go and train even further, you know. And today that dancer, he's doing Dancing with the Stars, not Dancing with the Stars, So You Think You Can Dance in South Africa, and he was one of the judges for Cowell, Simon Cowell, you know.
Oh, so one of your dancers that is on Dancing with the Stars and works with Mr. Simon Cowell, okay.
Yes, yes.
Does your dance theater start, what age does your dance theater start training students?
I couldn't hear that. Say that again.
What age does your dance theater start training students?
Oh, we, what year? This was in 1989. That's when I started training.
No, ma'am. Does your dance, what age? Does your dance
theater
start training?
I start very early, young age. I take them from 5 years old, you know? From 5 years old, I start training. But the ones that I opened up my company with, these ones, they were like really like 15, 16 years old. And I really worked them hard because I know they had a lot of challenges to overcome being in South Africa. These were kids who were dropouts from schools, you know? And the people said there's no hope for them, you know. They just throw their hands up in the air. Those were those kids. And I started training them, and my husband was helping me because he was used to working with the youth in South Africa, you know. And you should see those kids then, yeah.
What age does the Soweto Dance Theater start training students?
At what age? We started teaching at 5 years old. I started from 5 years old.
Okay.
Because
do you still visit the country, Africa?
Yeah, our school is still going on in Africa also. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And we are in America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are there American restaurants there?
Are there what?
American restaurants there in Africa.
Oh, yes. Africa, especially South Africa, Johannesburg, it's become so cosmopolitan now. We've got, there's McDonald's, there's Kentucky Fried Chicken, there's just basically everything that you can find here, you know. If you go to South Africa, you'll be so surprised.
Oh, okay. Maybe one day I'll get to visit.
Oh, you got to go. You can go.
Okay. What awards have you been awarded?
Oh, I've been awarded Best Contemporary Choreographer of the Year. I've been awarded Best Female Dancer for the South African Government Dance Program. I've been awarded Best Dance Company, First Dance Company in South Africa with dancers with like excellence in dance for dancers, and yeah, those are one of the few. Others I can't even remember them now. I have to look at my certification.
Okay.
If I want to remember.
Okay.
I want to boast a little bit.
You have to look at your certification. patient. You have so many awards. So you have to look at it. Okay. All
I'm
right.
I'm waiting for the Tony Award.
Waiting on the Tony Award.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that one.
Okay.
No, I'm waiting for that one.
Okay. All right. Waiting on that one. Okay. You're working towards it. Okay. If there was one thing you could change, what would it be?
What was that? Sorry, I couldn't hear that. I've got background noise here. So what was that, Angela?
If there was one thing you could change, what would it be?
If there's one thing that I could change, if there's one thing that I could change in this world, that would be for anybody to be able to really, if there's one thing that I would change, I would love everybody to just love each other, you know, love yourself. Because without that, I mean, there's nothing you can do. You can't achieve anything. If you don't have love for yourself, number one, you can't even love anybody else, you know. That's all.
Yes.
And my whole thing is to go around this world, make the whole world to dance. Just dance.
Okay.
That's the one thing I would want to change, you know, to make sure that everybody is in love with themselves. And once you do that, you can change the whole world, you know.
You
that
are
one
very
word.
Talented and worked hard. You also accomplished a lot. Do you travel with your dance theater?
Oh, yes, I do. I travel. Yes. Yeah, we travel. We've been to the Middle East. We've been to Turkey and, you know, we've been to Germany. We've been to London, Paris. We do travel. But we're based here in America. And my mission here in America is to teach Americans, especially African Americans, about their roots and their culture and to be proud of themselves and love themselves, you know. And like my dancers now, today, these dancers that I said I came with to America with when they were like 15, others 16, 17 years old. Today they are like 25, others 29, others are actually married. And they, these dancers now, they're still proud of their culture. We'll go and do performances, we'll go to schools and colleges, and they'll be wearing their Zulu costumes and doing their Zulu culture. And, you know, we do seminars at school, and they like very proud of themselves. And you must also remember, when I said to you, the dancers, they were dropouts from school. When we came to America, my first mission was to make sure that these dancers go to school. So we had to put them through GED programs, you know. And today they are great. Yeah.
All right. What is your greatest achievement, in your opinion?
My greatest achievement?
In your opinion, what is your greatest achievement? What do you think is the greatest thing that you have did?
My greatest achievement is I am living my dreams. I am living my dreams. Since I was 9 years old, I always said I want to travel the world and I want to teach the world to dance. My grandmother will attest to that. She's the one who raised me. That's my greatest achievement, doing what I love, you know, and I am happy with doing what I'm doing. And it's true, sometimes, like Oprah said one day, if you do something that you love and you can do it for free, then you must know that you're doing the thing that you really want to do. I enjoy doing what I'm doing. That's my greatest achievement, is living my dreams right now.
Were you surprised by the death of Michael Jackson? Did it shock you?
Let me tell you, it was so funny because like when I, you know, you see this person, I'm in South Africa, you see them, you watch them on TV, and you're so excited and you wish you can meet them one day. But when I actually met him, it wasn't like I was starstruck. I was like in such awe because when you're around greatness like that, you don't want to even talk a lot or say something. You just want to take it in because just to be around such greatness, you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm right here. I have to pinch myself. And that's what I was saying to you because when you were asking me for pictures, I said, you know, I can't believe sometimes I laugh at myself because I used to work with a lot of the artists like Roberta Flack and Chaka Khan and stuff, and I was never the one to run and take pictures, you know, because I was busy being enjoying being in their presence, you know, and listening to them talk and listen to what they have to say, their advices, you know. I was never, my dance is always the one running around taking pictures, and I'm always, wow, I'll have maybe one or two pictures.
So you got to meet President Nelson Mandela. What was that like? I mean, and you got to meet his daughter. Were you in awe? I mean, were you?
In one word, I felt, yes, I was in awe, and I was so honored just to be right there. I was so honored, and I'm like, I can't believe this is a man that I've in fact, my husband was in the 1996 uprising there, when they were, you know, in Soweto, when that uprising came in, and the first young kid was shot in South Africa. My husband was one of those students who was running around, and of course, I was much younger then, but I've read about him, I've heard about him, you know, and I didn't understand it at that time when I was young, but as I got older, and I actually got to be with my husband because he was much more involved and he understood a whole lot more than me, then when I actually met him, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this, and right there, and he is definitely the man that you see, humble, actually soft-spoken, very happy, love to dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the name that in your country you call President Nelson Mandela?
Oh, Nelson Mandela. We call him Madiba. Madiba. That's what we call him, Madiba. Madiba is like our father, you know, Madiba. That's what it means, Madiba.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, it's just an honor, you know, Madiba.
Okay.
That's what we call him.
All right. What have you learned that will benefit others? What have you learned that will help somebody else?
You know what I've learned as I coming from South Africa. This is what I've learned, that we are all more alike than we are different. You know, and everybody wants the same thing. And we all want to be loved, and we all want to be heard. And we want to be understood. That's what we're all looking for. This is what I've learned. And from going around the world and working with different cultures, and I've learned that, you know, we really are the human race. And if we can only really understand and connect ourselves with that, you know, then we can understand that really we all just need the same things. Like we all need water.
The same thing.
We all need the same things, you know. And at the end, it doesn't matter whether you're black and white. We know racism is all over. I mean, I don't know what can we do to let that go, but that racism is all over. But if
racism
we can just understand,
all over.
Yeah, that's all over. And if we learn to, you know, if you, it's like what Nelson Mandela says, if you speak to someone in your own language, you're speaking to his head. But when you speak in his language, you speak to his heart. So it's just like learn more about each other, learn about somebody else's culture. Put your shoes in somebody else's feet before you judge, you know. So that's what I've learned, you know, stop judging and just get to know people first.
So, of course, because when you were in South Africa, it was segregated at that time. How is it now there? How is it now in South Africa?
Now in South Africa, now of course I live in America, so I keep going back and forth, and every time I go back, there's something different going on. Now in South Africa, since Mandela became president, I could say things have changed for Africans all over in Africa, because not only could the South Africa, because that time it was only the black South Africans in South Africa, but when Mandela took over, the Nigerians could come in, Cameroonians, you know, all people from all over Africa would come in. So now South Africa is very multicultural, you know. In South Africa, remember, we only have like 11 ethnic groups. We have Swazi, Sotho, Botswana, we have Shangaan, Pedi, you know. And now we've got the West Africans, and we've got the Kenyans and everybody coming in and every bringing their culture, which I think is a good thing, because now it's just enhancing that African spirit in South Africa. South Africa is one of the richest countries in Africa. I mean, South Africa can actually sustain itself, you know. So it's really nice now, but it's also very cosmopolitan.
The mm-hmm. American media doesn't always paint a good picture of South Africa, but that is where President Barack Obama's father is from. His dad is from Africa.
Yes, from Kenya,
Kenya, yes. Have you ever had the opportunity to dance for the president?
For the inauguration, we were asked to go and perform for his inauguration, you know. But we had a contract to go to Germany at that time, and we couldn't make it. So, we were asked to go there, but we couldn't make it. We'd already signed up to go to Germany. And I was like, you know, when it rains, sometimes it pours.
Okay. All right. So you're world renowned. You are world renowned. I mean, you're so well advanced at it, and you yourself, Miss Isabel, is world renowned. And
I travel around the world. I work with different companies. I call myself a ghost choreographer. Most of the time, people will call me in companies, and I will choreograph pieces for them. And I don't always put my name on it, you know, especially if I just help you with a little part, you know, or I'll teach them a little African piece, or I'll tell them what this means. And sometimes, like in 2 weeks, I'll be going to, in 2 months, I'll be going to Hong Kong to go there to the humanitarian university in Hong Kong to go and teach them a little African thing, you know, they want to put it in their piece. And we also work for Disney World Animal Kingdom. We've opened up the Animal Kingdom for Disney World. And at the Marembe. And sometimes when Lion King comes and they're looking for, you know, to cast dancers, but mostly in South Africa, I would appoint some people in South Africa where they could go to and get dancers. So, you can say I'm very busy, you know.
Very busy, very world renowned. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. You have been a very lively guest, and I look forward to talking to you again on the show, and I wish you the best, you and your husband, and God bless you.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you, and you're doing a great job, you know, and I know the doors are going to be open for you more wider than you think, and you just keep going and going, you know. It's beautiful that you're what you're doing, and thank you for exposing me on your show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for
the compliment. That's a very high compliment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Angela.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Listeners, this show is sponsored by Doe Bynum Cowens Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Doe Bynum Cowens Mortgage Investment. This company can handle all your financing needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092 and allow them to handle your commercial finance and tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. If you are interested in learning how to improve your credit, or you want to establish business credit, call Doe Bynum and Cowens at 678-607-5092 or go to their website http://dobyne.cowins.webs.com. And again, tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Our guest tonight was Miss Isabel. She's from South Africa. She's a dance choreographer. She is just a wonderful person. I really enjoy talking with her. So, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Tune in tomorrow night. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a geographically challenged rock band delivering a commencement speech. Hello, graduates! Here's a song called Adulthood is Scary, the progressive snapshot. Plug it in and save money for being a safe driver. Let me hear you, Cleveland! I mean, Kansas City! New York?
Safe drivers save with Snapshot from Progressive.
Now you're wearing a stupid hat. Congrats! No, but really, where are we?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Snapshot not available in all states.
A Napa guy knows the good thing about an old truck is you can treat it like an old truck. Meaning, however you want. Because the paint job looks best covered in mud. Dents build character. And unpaved roads are unscientifically proven to be 70% more fun. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep that thing running longer, stronger. Because it's not old. It's broken in. That's Napa know-how.